Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
1 month out from the Super Bowl in New Orleans, February 9th. It's a Sunday, of course, and there's a lot that has to happen between now and then, but we are drawing nigh to the games. Oh, and I'm ready to get there. I'm tired of talking about them. I'm ready to get there. I'm tired of talking about head coaching changes. I'm ready to talk about actual games on the field, which we do have one tonight, the first of the college football national semifinals featuring Notre Dame and Penn State. So we'll do a little bit on that game as we head through this hour. Also giving you the latest that I've got the news up in front of me from Pacific Palisades, California, giving you the latest in terms of the numbers, the five wildfires that are still burning without any containment in the LA area. And where it intersects with sports, of course, you've got a lot of athletes that call LA home. Many who have families in the area. I know I reached out to our friend Amy Trask because I was really worried about her and her husband and her cats. She responded on Wednesday that they're fine. But of course, they have a bunch of friends who've been displaced or who've lost their homes. A college friend, a dear college friend that I attended Syracuse with, she and her daughters and a dog and a cat were forced to evacuate in the middle of the night on Tuesday. So it would have been during our last show. And they didn't know where they were going to go as they're driving out of their neighborhood, which is a mountainy, really hilly, mountainy, tree-lined neighborhood. They are sharing photos and videos, and it's clear the glow of the orange fire is so visible just from their camera phones. And then they just drove east and were thankfully able to find a hotel that took the pets and had power and had internet. There's more than 1.5 million customers without power in the area. And the winds continue to rage, which is incredible. I've seen reports of winds 90 miles per hour, 94 miles per hour. These are called the Santa Ana winds, 86 miles per hour in the Malibu Hills. That's a major issue for the firefighters and for first responders, is that even with people coming in, A, they don't have a lot of water pressure, so it's hard to use the water. B, the winds cannot be harnessed. They can't be channeled. This is the major issue, is that the embers keep getting carried to different neighborhoods and different places, and more trees light up. And it's just really sad. It's heartbreaking. I was watching the news for quite a while, and I kept yelling at my husband, come look at this. You almost can't believe what you're seeing. It looks like some scene out of a movie where everything's gray and covered with ash, or there's fires raging as people are driving within feet of them. I can imagine that they're feeling the heat even as they're trying to drive and get away. And the last number I saw, 100,000 different people in the evacuation zone. But the latest from local officials is that they are very much in a dangerous situation still. The evacuation zone is expected to expand around this portion of LA. You're already talking about 27,000 acres that have burned in these wildfires, and the conditions are such that they really can't get a handle on it, which means that there's still a lot of ways that this can go horribly wrong. Already over 1,000. Now, this was earlier on Wednesday evening. Over 1,000 structures had been burned. And like many of you, I've seen the interviews with business owners and homeowners, some celebrities, but some just average run-of-the-mill middle-class Americans who've lost so much of what they worked for. And it happened so quickly. But these days with the technology, Pete, the cameras that are installed in people's homes, whether it's a Ring camera, whether it's a security camera, security system, you can see people are actually posting photos of their homes burning to the ground, which I don't care if it's someone else's home. It's still so horrifying to watch this happen in like real time on a video. I just can't imagine seeing that. I don't even know if I'd want to see it. I guess there maybe is some solace in solace is the wrong word. Maybe that knowing is better than not knowing, but I just can't imagine watching it happen and you're powerless to do a damn thing. I don't even know how I would handle that.
I wouldn't be watching if that was my house. No, I would have to watch something else.
And then you see them posted online, which also just blows me away. I know there are a lot of reporters doing their jobs and they're showing us what's happening. But again, the technology in 2025 is such that you can see this playing out as it's happening. And I guess the benefit of that is that we're getting the information quickly. But yeah, even right now, I'm watching video from Wednesday and you're talking about large homes engulfed in flames. I can't watch it without having a visceral reaction to it. So at some point on Wednesday evening, I had to turn it off and watch basketball, which is weird, right? But that's what we had to do to get ready for the show. I am monitoring, though, what's happening with the Chargers and, of course, with the Rams. So the Rams are scheduled to host a playoff game on Monday. Mentioned this a couple of times. The contingency plan from the NFL is that they will move that game to Arizona and to Glendale, where the Cardinals play if they have to. I don't even know how you hold a football game at SoFi Stadium when fires are raging. And I don't mean because there's danger, though the air quality could be tough. It seems so insensitive to me. How do you throw a football game there at SoFi in the playoffs and not think about how that feels or how that looks or how that comes across to the people who've just lost everything or are still evacuated? Just to me, that seems wrong, Pete.
It's similar to when Hurricane Sandy hit the Northeast and the marathon, the New York City Marathon, was going to be run that weekend.
In November, right?
In November. And it was planned to be run. And it took some people going nuts on television, radio, and whatnot. And finally, people came to their senses and said, hey, we can't run this race. And it's just like you cannot do anything that is not related to the recovery or helping people in these areas. It's very insensitive to play football.
Not to mention, if you need SoFi for a staging area for firefighters or first responders, or how about just a place where people can go? Again, the air quality is tough there, and so it's an open air stadium. It's hard to close that out. But just if they need space or need a place to put people, you know, like that seems like it'd be an obvious choice.
And if you're going to pull security to do this too, I mean, it's a little. I think they should make the call now.
So that's the Rams and Monday night and NFL monitoring that situation. I wouldn't be surprised if, as Pete said, they made the call before we got to the weekend. The Chargers are heading to Houston. Their game is on Saturday afternoon. But as of Wednesday, they were still practicing. And the way that Jim Harbaugh has done it to try to mitigate their time outside in the poor air is that he limited their practice time, but also he put offense out first and then defense so that they're not all out there at the same time. Both the offensive and defensive coordinators, Greg Roman and Jesse Minter, talking about, you know, how they're moving forward, getting ready for a playoff game.
Good news is I think the air quality, we just got a great report on the air quality and where it's at and where it's going. You know, we can't control the winds, but right now it's really favorable. You know, Coach Harbaugh's got a great plan B in place if needed. Came in this morning. Busted in the door. I got an idea. And like he does. And it's a great idea. He's got a really good plan. So we've got plan A, plan B. All the players are totally dialed in, totally locked in.
One thing I know about Jim Harbaugh, he's a problem solver, the best problem solver I've ever been around. And so, you know, I think he's got a good plan to deal with deal with it. What we need to do to try to keep everybody obviously safe and healthy as much as possible. So I trust the process and the plan that he's got in place. That you know we'll be able to certainly be mindful of that stuff, but also at the same time get our preparation in for the game.
Not something that Jim Harbaugh and his staff expected to deal with this year, but as he said, or as Greg and Jesse have both said, Jim is a leader. He no doubt is tireless when it comes to the ideas and how to protect the players. And so they've also got a plan, though they will be heading to Houston soon. It's just tough to think about the people you leave behind, right? So we were talking about J.J. Redick and the Lakers playing earlier this week, and he said, my family's freaking out. My wife's freaking out, right? We've got people who are in the path or at least close to these storm or to these fires, and it's hard to think about anything else but what's happening at home. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up, part of a conversation with Vegas Raiders insider Hondo Carpenter as Tom Brady is on the scene and the role that Tom Brady will have in finding their new head coach and the new identity for the organization. But what does Bill Belichick have to do with that? So the reports were out there on Wednesday, including Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, that Brady has been talking to Belichick about even potentially leaving his job with UNC and taking the head coaching job with the Raiders. Now, Hondo says that's not the focus of the conversation between Brady and Belichick. He'll tell you what they were talking about. And also, are they still interested in Mike Vrabel, right? Are teams giving up on Vrabel? Sounds like the Raiders are not. So we'll bring that back a little bit later on this hour. The basketball game last night, terrific. We've done so much football between college and the NFL, really since I got back on the show, the December 26th. The rides are around the holidays. It's just been all football all the time, which is pretty standard. But what a terrific game last night between the best two teams in the NBA. The Cavaliers, who were riding a 10-game win streak, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, who were, at that point, 15 wins in a row. And you wouldn't know it, and I'm not in any way disparaging these two teams because the quality of the basketball was terrific. Both teams shot better than 52%. Now, you're talking about two of the best defensive teams in the NBA. Statistically, they're both top six in the NBA in their defensive metrics, and yet they put up, each of these teams put up 40-plus points in the third quarter alone. They were already into triple digits before they got out of the third quarter. Specifically, the Cavaliers were sharing the basketball, getting everybody involved. At one point, all but say, I think it was six field goals had come with assists. And so you could tell that they were able to find ways to exploit what they saw from the Thunder defense. And even though Donovan Mitchell only had three buckets, did not score until right before halftime, that was his first bucket, they got plenty from both the offensive and defensive end of the court.
On the right side, Lou Dort works into the paint. Got it down low to Hartenstein. Hartenstein, Allen blocked the shot. Jared Allen blocked the shot of Hartenstein. Here comes Garland, right corner Mitchell. Free ball. Bullseye! Cavs by seven. Garland holding the basketball. Garland looking, looking. Garland now dribbles to the top of the three-point arc. Backs up, 30 to go. Garland into the paint. Floats. Automatic! DG! Into the lane! He never misses! Mobley throws it in the backcourt to Garland. Garland just running away from the defender, Jalen Williams. And now OKC is going to call off the dogs. Garland ahead to Mobley. Mobley, three on the clock, two on the clock, one on the clock! Buzzer sounds! Cavs win! Cavaliers win! The Cavaliers! Like a bolt of lightning, have vanquished the Thunder. 129-122.
Do you think Tim Alcorn wrote that line down? Do you think that was a line that he had pre-planned? Like a bolt of lightning, they vanquished the Thunder.
No.
No? You think that was off the cuff?
I think he probably had a few in his head.
Terrific calls there on the Cavaliers radio network. Yeah, so Darius Garland, with about 30 seconds to go, he's got the ball, he's dribbling at the top of the key, and he takes it straight down the gut, right to the hoop, and is able to roll it up and in. So he finishes with 18 points and 7 assists, and was picking up the slack where Donovan Mitchell had a tougher shooting night. And this victory makes a big statement about the team externally, but also it's a boost for their locker room. They've won 11 in a row. They've taken out some pretty impressive opponents along the way, but this one the best for the Cavaliers so far.
We're relentless. Best team in the league. I don't know, man. This team is great, for sure.
We all said, you know, before the game, oh, it's 1 of 82, but, you know, we know we're being judged at this level now, and it's just one, right? We're going to go back in 2 weeks, and we'll see if we can, imitate the same performance. But I think the guys feel good that they rose to the occasion. And I'm sure there was doubt, right, Tim, before the game? Can we do it? Can we? So it was a important win for us.
They also, to a man, went on to say that this is not a game we would have won a year ago. And I think that speaks so highly of Kenny Atkinson, not to mention the way the team has come together. Big night for Jared Allen and Evan Mobley in the paint, 60 points in the paint for the Cavaliers. But yeah, Donovan Mitchell as a leader, able to contribute in other ways. But how cool for him to see the team kind of pick up the slack when he has an off night.
It just speaks to our growth. I told everybody after the game, like, we don't, as a unit, we don't win this game last year. You look at J.A., you look at Evan, you look at D.G., Max, Karis, Ty Jerome, George, everybody, Dean Wade, everybody that came in, you know, did something positive to affect the game, whether it was scoring, rebounding, defending, whatever it may be. And that's a team win. That's what it's going to take for us to be the team we want to be.
Right now, sitting on the best record in the NBA, and if you're keeping score at home, they actually still are on track for the best single season record in NBA history, and the Warriors set that with 73 wins not that long ago. Long way to go, not even at the midway point of the season, but I'm excited for Kenny Atkinson, specifically for the Cavs. It's a lot of fun to watch this team, and that was worth the bang for your buck to watch both Thunder and Cavs on the court together. At A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page coming up, update on Jordan Love with his elbow. Also, Jalen Hurts back at practice for the first time since his concussion in, I think it was December 22nd when he got concussed against the Commanders. We've got a college football playoff game tonight, and then a little bit later on, part of a conversation with Hondo Carpenter of the Raiders Insider, the Raiders media. But what does Mike Vrabel have to do with the Raiders head coaching search? And what about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in that conversation? He answers those questions. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Three receivers spread to the left. Wilson to the left side of the quarterback in the shotgun. Now Reed orbits around the backfield. Play action Love, looking to deal. Fires it over the middle. Kraft is wide open from right to left outside the number 40. 35, 30. Out of bounds. Tucker Kraft again popping wide open out of bounds at the 28-yard line. Demario Davis had all he could do to catch up and force him out 30 yards downfield.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Wayne Larrabee with a call on Packers radio. Bit of a tough finish for Green Bay, dropping back-to-back games and falling to the 7th seed. And on Sunday, in their final game of the year, they lose Christian Watson to a torn ACL, which really stinks. I mean, the timing of it is awful, not just for him to be unable to participate in the playoffs, but think about how long it's going to take him to get ready again. It could cost him part of next season. And then what we saw with Jordan Love and Malik Willis, actually. Love ended up banging an elbow and had some numbness in his hand, and he was limited in practice on Wednesday. My days get all blurred together. He's limited in practice on Wednesday, though he was going back and forth with reporters.
Pretty much by the next day, like, he was feeling back to normal, a little bit less numbing.
So your grip on the ball felt fine today?
Yeah.
Is it the funny ball? I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like everybody's had happen. Mm-hmm. Nothing funny about it.
No, definitely not.
Very funny Sunday.
See, yeah, I'm hopeful.
So they won't say that he's playing Sunday, but he is hopeful. It's about grip on the ball. He said it feels better. The elbow's still a little bit painful. But seriously, the funny bone, I don't know why they call it that. If I could change one thing about, well, maybe this is a over the top a little bit. If I could change something about our vernacular, the way we talk about things, when I bang my funny bone, it is the worst thing. And I happen to do it all the time on the corners of chair backs. Oh my gosh. It hurts so bad. It sends like that numbness, that tingling all the way at your arm. And it's so instant. Just not funny. Who called it that, Pete?
I would call it the hilarious bone.
Oh heavens. We need to research the history of the terminology. Because it's not funny at all. It's the exact opposite. It's an oxymoron, if you will. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Jordan Love practicing, hopeful that he'll play on Sunday as the Packers will kick off in what is a playoff game that they probably didn't expect to be in. I mean, I think that's safe to say. They're on the road at Philadelphia, and this is critical, right? Because the Eagles, as the 2 seed, are believing that their quarterback is also going to be healthy. So you had Jalen Hurts concussed back in late December. So this would have been, what, week 15, and hasn't played since then, but was practicing for the first time on Wednesday.
He looked sharp, I'll be honest. Looked really sharp, brought a lot of energy. He's out there in short sleeves. I've been in his position before with concussion, and when you miss time, you try and find ways to get back as fast as you can. But, you know, I think he did a great job of, you know, dealing with that and coming back as sharp as he did today. And I thought he had a phenomenal practice.
Jordan Mailata of the Eagles offensive line. Seriously, with all due respect to everybody else who's on TV, we've got some great analysts. Can we please just have Jordan Mailata when he gets done? He's not only a good talker, and he's very well spoken, makes great points. He's open. He's authentic. All of those things. And I know he's still in the prime of his career at 27 years old. But please, that accent. I could listen to him talk football. Not Australian rules football, but NFL forever.
He looks sharp, I'll be honest.
He looks sharp. I have zero ability to do accents or impressions or anything like that. I really can't. I can do an impression of a turkey at Thanksgiving, but that's pretty much it. I can't do, the only English phrase I can do is across the pond. That's it. I don't know why I can do that one and not any other English phrase. I couldn't do Australian accent if somebody hit me in the face with it. Sharp. I mean, actually sharp sounds a lot like New England. Park your car in the shop yard. So I don't know about my Australian accent, but to me that maybe could pass in New England. He could be a local. Nick Sirianni, not at all worried about Jalen coming off a long layover.
This is why you practice. This is why you go through the process of practicing and all the things that you do at practice to get on the same page, to do everything there. We feel like we practice at a very high intensity level. This is why you go out there and do those things.
Want to hear something funny? Not about, it's actually funny, not funny bone funny. Because I Googled Jordan Mailata, I want to know how old he was and to see if potentially we could get him on TV soon. It's not happening. So when you Google someone, other things pop up, and his Instagram page popped up. And what it says on his Instagram page is athlete with this bio, trying to kick ass on Sundays, and that's in all caps, sometimes Mondays and Thursdays and the occasional Tuesday night. Pretty soon he's going to have Wednesdays as added to his bio as well.
Keep adding days to that.
Trying to kick ass on Sundays, sometimes Mondays and Thursdays and the occasional Tuesday night. Maybe he's referring to Tuesday night bowling league. I don't know, but the NFL just keeps adding people. He's a funny dude. I'm telling you, Jordan Mailata, next big money NFL analyst. Or he could be college football analyst, too, because they've also got some big games coming up tonight and tomorrow, the national semifinals. I'm sure you've heard about this. Notre Dame, as an independent, they had to earn their way in. I think it's a harder road for the Fighting Irish than it is for a team that's associated with a conference. But James Franklin of Penn State seems to think that the conference part should not be optional.
I think it should be consistent across college football. I think, again, this is no knock at coach or Notre Dame, but I think everybody should be in a conference. I think everybody should play a conference championship game, or no one should play a conference championship game. I think everybody should play the same number of conference games. But just the numbers are going to make things more challenging if you're playing one more conference game. So I just think things need to be consistent across college football.
All right. You can't control everything. I understand what James Franklin is saying, but there are a lot of teams that don't play the same numbers because not every team plays in a conference championship. So, yeah, to me, that's kind of a wah. I don't need it. Notre Dame's road to the playoff is actually harder, I think, because they're not associated with a conference and they have to add to their schedule in a way that it impresses now the committee, right, that picks these 12 teams, and they have to do it consistently enough that they don't end up falling out because they don't have the benefit of being attached to, say, the Big Ten or the SEC. Now, they do have some affiliation with the ACC, we know, but he's right. They're not going to play in a conference championship. Still, you've got teams in the Big 12 and the other conferences that are also part of this playoff that are not taking part in a conference championship. So the expanded playoff, I think, kind of makes it more uniform because it's a committee that's picking. It's not so much based on your record. Marcus Freeman, not taking the bait. He's got a lot of respect for the Nittany Lions.
As Coach Franklin said, I have a lot of respect for him and the job he's done in college football, and this football team is a very good one that we have to continue to prepare for. We've got to use these next 24 hours to finish our preparation in anticipation of this great opportunity that lies ahead.
I talked to some of the other guys on the team to figure out what their favorite plays are, and just trying to, you know, get the ball to our best playmakers early in the game and as often as we can. And I think it builds confidence in all of us because it's getting us all into a rhythm.
Quarterback for Penn State, Drew Aller, and I like what he had to say about I checked in with some of the other guys to see what their favorite plays are. Let's start out with a bang. Let's have some fun. Well, you can't. I was going to try to make it a segue to the funny bone. Let's laugh all the way to the national championship. Okay, I'm getting your tweets now about the funny bone, and I can see where this comes from. I don't like it. I think it's a mean trick, an evil trick. Bob and Paul, thank you for weighing in. Though Paul spells it right, Bob does not. And this, of course, I knew, but I never really put these two things together. This is just not something I spent a lot of time thinking about. But Pete, according to Paul and Bob.
Wait a minute.
Yep.
I think I know what they're going to say because I just remembered what it is.
You did. You just all of a sudden had an epiphany?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the humerus bone.
Humerus bone, yes. Not spelled humerus like H-U-M-O-R-O-U-S.
Right.
But H-U-M-E-R-U-S, which now I can understand why it's a play on words. And as I self-described wordsmith that I am, I still think it's wrong because it's not funny at all. But I get why it's a play on words. Thank you, Paul. And Bob, though Bob spelled it with the other version of humerus, the English language. It's so challenging.
Well, at least you didn't have an X in there or something.
Or a Z.
Right.
Or he got auto-corrected. Not long ago on our Facebook page, a guy wrote in and was like, let's see, what did he say? He screwed the moose. I'm like, the moose? No one screws the moose. clearly his phone autocorrected moose or pooch to moose or some version of pooch to poot. You know what I mean? Don't say it too many times fast. But like, people don't ever look, right? So you get all these like crazy autocorrect or just wrong words, wrong spelling on our social media. So I appreciate I appreciate that Paul had the right spelling.
I was running into a problem on social media a few times in the beginning of my tenure here with your handle. When I would go with your handle and it would autocorrect the handle
to
just Amy, and I would have at Amy, and just some random Amy would be
just
there.
Random. There's a lot of random Amys out there. Be careful which random Amy you are communicating with. Coming up, what did Bill Belichick and Tom Brady talk about? And is Mike Vrabel still a candidate elsewhere? The Raiders seem to believe he is. Part of my conversation with Raiders insider Hondo Carpenter, but it does wrap right back into Patriots stuff. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, and the ties between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, obvious. The two won six Super Bowls together, and it seems Brady's interested in Belichick helping him in his next venture. That's finding a new head coach with the Raiders. Brady reportedly reaching out to Belichick to see what it would take to have Belichick leave North Carolina despite just taking over that job. However, reports indicate Belichick no plans at this time to return to the NFL. Everyone keep an eye on the wildfires of California and the unfortunate devastation that it's causing. Rams and Vikings set for their playoff game Monday night. NFL has put together a contingency plan of moving the game to Arizona if that becomes necessary. 49ers coming off a disappointing season that was ravaged by injury. Now the process of trying to figure out the future, and that of course includes Brock Purdy, who has just 1 year remaining on his contract, but GM John Lynch making it clear they want Purdy long term.
He's done so much for our organization. He's won big games had a little tougher task, as we all did this year, with some of the things that happened throughout the course of the year. We just never could string games where we were all together. And through that, he continued to lead. He continued to play at a high level. So we have every interest in him being around.
Checking the NBA with the Cavs and the Thunder and a possible NBA Finals preview.
Top of the key to Mobley. Mobley against Hartenstein. Mobley 4 on the clock. Mobley right of the lane. Hook scores! Evan Mobley! Win with the baby hook! 5-point lead for the Cavaliers, 127-122 with 1 minute to go.
Evan Mobley, 21 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. Jared Allen, 25, 12 boards, 6 assists. Cavs cooled off the Thunder, 129-122, snapping their 15-game win streak, also pushing their own up to 11 straight. Call courtesy of the Cavs Radio Network. Rest your scores, Bucks roll the Spurs, 121-105. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 25 points, 16 boards, 8 assists. Nuggets overwhelm the Clippers, 126-103. Knicks pound the Raptors, 112-98. Blazers too much for the Pelicans, 119-100. Sixers top the Wizards, 109-103. Pistons dominate the Nets, 113-98. And the Pacers finished off the Bulls, 129-113. In college hoops, Villanova shock UConn, 68-66. Alabama rolled South Carolina, 88-68. And Texas A&M upended Oklahoma, 80-78. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227.
The Vegas Raiders are in search of a new head coach, and Tom Brady definitely has a lot to do with their choice moving forward and their identity. I had a chance to catch up with Hondo Carpenter, Raiders insider for Sports Illustrated, earlier in the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You may have seen the report from Tom Pelissero and others that Brady reached out to Bill Belichick and that they talked about a lot of things, including whether or not Bill would be interested in coaching the Raiders. Now, Hondo says that's not what the conversation was about. So I asked him, what was the duo talking about?
We broke the story today. A source with direct knowledge of the conversation told us that the farther Belichick and Brady get away from working together, that there is an immense respect between the two for what the other brought to the other's life. And now it's a very respectful, good relationship. And so Brady was literally picking his brain about the process, you know, explaining what are some things you look for? What are some things? And to their credit, you know, I think they both realized that they were better together. And now they're able to accept it. It's like a couple that ends up getting divorced and has children, but realizes, you know what, we're adults and this is about our kids, not us anymore. We're not married and they're able to get along because they love their kids. I think they understand there was a divorce, but that tremendous respect, and Belichick was willing to talk to Tom and give him some wisdom. And Tom was willing to be why Tom is great, because it isn't a pride issue, and he was willing to swallow his pride and talk to him, and Bill was willing to help. And it's one thing to go down to the bar and ask the guys at the bar for financial advice. It's another to go into your Merrill Lynch or whoever your financial advisor is that has an investment book of a couple of billion dollars and a proven track record of 30 years and then get it there. And I think that's exactly what Tom is doing, and that's why I think Tom is elite in every area of his life, why he hates mediocrity, and why I believe that is coming to the Raiders.
Hondo Carpenter is now into year number 6 as a Raiders insider for Sports Illustrated, and he joins us here after hours with Amy Lawrence. Whether it's defensive or offensive side of the ball, you talk about identity. What type of an identity are they looking for with this new head coach?
That's going to be the fascinating thing. Patrick Graham has not been good for the Raiders since he got here. He has been exceptional. I think it is a travesty that that man is not a head coach in the National Football League, and he is, in my opinion, an exceptional defensive coordinator. When you look at all of the injuries the Raiders sustained this year of superstars, and yet still that defense was very, very good, is amazing. The Raiders always want to play tough defense. They always want to play a tough offensive game. They want to be able to, you know, beat you up in a plethora of different ways. I think, and I've reported this back in September, I was asked in my weekly question and answer article about if Antonio Pierce were removed, who do I think the Raiders would hire? And the name I kept hearing was Mike Vrabel. To the Patriots' credit, they moved quickly away from Gerard Mayo because they wanted to get in on Mike Vrabel before the Raiders did. And so I don't think that Vrabel's out. I'm hearing from people around the league, they think he's going to end up with the Patriots. Now, I still believe Tom Brady can sell anybody anything, so I'm not in any way saying I don't think it would happen. I think Vrabel, though, is a guy that they're extremely interested in. But here's what I would tell you, Amy, that I've talked to a bunch of people who are close to Tom. It's somebody that has to be brilliant. I don't think they're married to an offensive or a defensive guy. It's somebody that has to be savantish when it comes to the game. Somebody that understands the nuances. Somebody that understands the little parts of the game. Those are the things that drive Brady crazy. I was talking to someone today who was on the coaching staff when he played. And he told a story. This guy was on the defensive coaching staff in New England. About how Tom went up in the middle of a game, coming off the field at halftime, and didn't rip, but was really getting into one of the coaches for some mistakes a defense was making. And the guy walked in the locker room and told somebody else, and like, yeah, that's Tom, man. He knows everybody, what everybody's supposed to do. Tom likes to surround himself with those kind of people, guys that understand the game. If you are a great defensive coach, great. He wants you to be a great team in special teams, offense, and defense. So if you are only a defensive mind, so Bill Belichick, there's none of us that would argue that he's not one of the greatest defensive minds in the history of the National Football League, but he also was an exceptional offensive mind and special teams. So they're going to be looking for somebody like that. Now, probably that's going to end up with an experienced coach. But again, they're open to being Tomlin. They're open to getting somebody who's young, but who absolutely can pass that. I asked a person today who knows Tom very well, what do you think someone getting interviewed by in a room with Tom Brady in there is going to experience? And he said, it is going to be like a colon rectal exam. And I said, can you explain it? He said, yes. He said, Tom is going to push them. He wants to know, do you know the game? Do you understand the game? Do you understand the little parts of the game? I had another person tell me that one thing the Raiders need to be prepared for is that eventually Tom is going to go through the entire franchise, from the janitors and security people to PR to people that sell seats, to every area of the organization and look at it and study it. Not look at it and just make an opinion. He's going to study it. Are these people performing at a championship level? And they said, because Tom understands that to win at the level he wants, it absolutely everybody's got to be on the same page. And you may remember when he left Tampa Bay, there was some talk of some of his former teammates about football being fun again. And Tom's answer was, I thought winning was fun. Because when you are one of those elite men at who play at an elite level, or elite women, I was with Simone Biles last time. I mean, she's that. When you're around those elite people, that's how they live. It's how they run their life, Amy. And that is what Tom Brady is going to bring to the Raiders. I said this yesterday, and I'll say it to you. They're not talking about it anymore when it comes to commitment to excellence and just win. Now they're going to be about it. And I think it's going to be a holistic change. I think it's going to be Hurricane Brady. In fact, I'm working on an article right now on the coming Hurricane Brady and how Tom is going to bring to that organization the joy is winning. And if you can find joy in it and not win, why are you doing this? Go do something else. Mm. And I think that's what they're looking for. So I don't think, and I've asked several people, I don't think it's a commitment to a defensive coach or an offensive coach. I think they're committed to find somebody that knows the game. They want to be smart. They want to do smart things. You'll appreciate this. Brian Hoyer, the longtime NFL quarterback and is a dear friend of Tom Brady's and just a great friend of mine. And I asked him once, what did you learn most from Tom? And I'll never forget his answer. He said, Tom pays attention to not just the small details. He pays attention to the biggest details too. Now, I thought that was unique. And I said, can you explain to that? I thought everybody pays attention to detail. And he goes, no. He goes, sometimes people just take the big details for granted. Oh, everyone's going to know that. And you know, it made me think of John Wooden, first day of practice every year, taught his guys how to put their socks on. And he just goes, Tom taught me that the big details and the little details, all details matter. And that's what Tom Brady is going to bring to the Las Vegas Raiders, is that commitment. And you know what? Credit Mark Davis, that's what he wants. It's where he is. He is built. The most, you know, the Raiders are flush with cash. They have the nicest facility in the NFL for practice, headquarters, and the best stadium, in my opinion. I've been to them all, and I'm not a fan. And he's done everything right business-wise, and now they're going to get the football thing right. And I think it's going to be fascinating.
And Tom Brady's going to play an extremely involved and intricate role in all of this, which brings me back to our conversation that we had on our last show. How does he remain in broadcasting? And I'm not saying it's because he can't be objective, because I think he can, but I also think the other owners at some point very soon are going to make a stink. Pete thinks he will just do the one and done and he'll be out. He'll do 1 year. He'll get to the Super Bowl in a different capacity, and then he will decide his responsibilities with the Raiders are more important. Interesting thing too, I say only in my air quotations, because I don't own any. He only owns 7% of the Raiders. He's that much of a minority owner, and yet Mark Davis wants him involved, made a way for him to be part of this at a discounted price. We know that from the stories going back to when he purchased. And despite the restrictions on him in broadcasting, I just don't think owners are going to allow that to continue because of how involved he is in the process. I also asked Hondo about the Raiders quarterback situation. You can get that on the podcast as well as the rest of the show. We're back with you tonight after college football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!